Rindy Eckert is a singer, composer, movement artist, actor, writer, and director. His stage work includes And God Created Great Whales, which premiered at the Foundry Theater in New York in the autumn of 2000, a radio opera titled Four Songs Lost in a Wall, and Highway Ulysses, which premiered at the American Repertory Theater at Harvard. His rigorous, playful, and profound librettos and scores delight in juxtaposing classical sources, both literary and musical, next to pop culture references. Rindy was asked in an interview how he finds ways to express his unique gifts as a performer-creator despite shifting tides of taste over the years. And he explains, "I do think about the timeless, the grand idea, or deeply human dilemma that might be relevant to any age. For this reason, I have often written from the point of view of an isolato, who, although placed within a specific landscape or situation, is, in his isolation, free to express himself without reserve and dream large dreams. Myth, symbolism, allegory, the religious, the philosophical, are at play here. We are messy, thoughtful creatures in a messy, thought-provoking world. There is bathos, but there is also depth of feeling. There is the grossly sentimental, but there is also the poignantly lyrical. There is torturously overt symbolism, but there is also the mythological and sacred. Sometimes one needs to be cool, riding above the maelstrom of the reactive heart, wryly or serenely remarking on it. And sometimes one ought to struggle in the soup of feeling and be reminded of our compelling vulnerability, artlessness, or vulgarity. Ultimately, one is both witness and that which is witnessed. This, to me, is the great cosmic paradox. So, for me, the sacred and profane, the high and low, the timeless and the timely, are all yoked together. To privilege one of the pair over the other is to draw one's cart in too tight a circle, spinning in one direction alone." Words of Rindy Eckert from a conversation with Caridad Switch titled Witness and Witnessed in the study Transglobal Readings Crossing Theatrical Boundaries. Rindy Eckert was named one of the 21 inaugural Doris Duke artists in 2012. He is also the recipient of the 2009 Alpert Award in Arts for Theater. In 2007, he was finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in Drama, and he was awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship, and he received the 2005 Mark Blitzstein Award from the American Academy of Arts and Letters. Rindy Eckert will hold the tension of the opposites in story and song when he returns to Bloomsburg to present a concert to benefit the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble this Monday night at the Pump House. WVIA's Fiona Powell had a chance to speak by phone with Rindy Eckert about his work.
It's essentially a look back at a number of different pieces, characters, songs that I have performed over the years. I was looking to recover some material that I don't get to perform very often anymore, and I still think the songs are quite lovely and wanted to find some sort of shelter for them. And so I developed this piece called My Fool. So far, it's been an adventure. Every performance is slightly different. I've been treading a line between what I would call a poetic precision of these theatrical pieces and a kind of looser, more concert, and more informal concert format, which allows me to talk directly to the audience and share with them some things that I've never shared with the audiences in the past. So it's partially a formal operation and partially an informal operation. That's its interest for me, and it's difficult in many ways.
How would you describe yourself as a performer? Because you do a little bit of everything, don't you?
Yeah, one of the things that I discovered early in my career is that I was not comfortable with the restrictions imposed upon me by most by most forms. So I essentially developed my own kind of form that allowed me to exercise all that I possessed. So that's resulted in a lot of solo pieces. Well, not a lot of solo pieces, but a fair number, in which I take the part of a mostly isolated protagonist, which allows me to dream out loud, essentially. And I can go anywhere I want to go and sing and play instruments. And it's all within the poetic raison d'etre of these particular individuals. So as a result of occasionally dancing, occasionally singing, occasionally talking, inhabiting various characters, I can play multiple characters in one performance. Most often, though, there'll be some sort of central governing metaphor that will control, I think, the chaos a little bit. But I do, I stand in a kind of what I think of as the natural chaos of an individual mind, and allowing myself to express wherever that mind takes us, I'm allowed to go.
Are you going to make us laugh? Will you make us cry? Will you startle us?
Well, hopefully both. I have a habit of actually doing both within the same minute. I think there's a joke that's kind of exemplary that I often tell. I'm not sure if I'll tell it, but there's a piece I do called The Idiot Variations. And in it, the idiot, or idiot in this case, it's all done in a kind of Irish accent, which is admittedly not exactly proper. And the idiot says he's forgotten the joke that he intended to tell. Later on in the piece, he remembers the joke and tells it. And the joke is something like this. There was this idiot by the side of the road, dying for lack of food, too weak to utter a word. Along comes a stranger with a basket of bread, and he asks the idiot, does he know the way to the old town? And the idiot thinks he knows the way well enough, but he can't speak without first to get something to eat. So he points with a basket of bread and back towards his mouth, and the stranger looks at him all funny-like and says, to speak up, he can't understand. And then out of frustration, the idiot grabs a small bun from the basket and starts to eat. Here, says the stranger, what do you mean to do? Steal me your very own bread that I labored in the fields for and baked with my very own hands, you thieving bastard. Yeah. And then he coughs the idiot good and hard on the head, and he walks off in the wrong direction, taking his bread with him and leaving the idiot to die by the side of the road. So the idiot, in the course of actually describing this funny, ironic scene, suddenly realizes that the end is tragic for the idiot in the story. And so the performance of that is typical. So you start off with something that seems light and pretty funny, and then in the course of it you start to go, wait a minute, this is also tragic. I take my cue from a couple of sui generis American performers who were authors as well of their own work, popular figures, Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, both of whom employed the same kind of device. They are inhabitors of their own characters that they author, and these characters are often in situations where they're both comic and tragic at the same time. So I've taken a little bit of a page from their book. So yeah, often it's very funny until it's not. And I love that. I love the turn that takes, where we go from something that's almost burlesque to something that's high tragedy. And so the sacred and profane are basically paired with each other. And I love that action, how high and low it takes us at the same time. And that's been the case so far. I have to say my audiences have been laughing and weeping, so I trust that it will be the same at Bloomsburg.
Where do you find your material? Do you write it? And if you do, where do you find your inspiration?
It varies. I did one piece that was based on Moby Dick, Herman Melville, so I took that as an inspiration. I did a piece, One Man, Romeo and Juliet, then the idiot variations from which I just quoted was something that was inspired in part by Beckett and in part by personal circumstances. My brother-in-law's passing, and it was on my mind. And I was also reading Yeats at the time. So it really varies according to the piece. I did a whole piece based on the entire oeuvre of an American theologian in the 30s, 40s, and 50s named Reinhold Niebuhr. So I read all of his work and did a theater piece. So I take my inspiration from a lot of different sources.
You're touring at the moment in a tour that is called An Appreciation Odyssey, is that right?
I suppose so, yeah. When the economy turned south, my touring tended to disappear. I tend to be something of a luxury for most presenters. And so I was no longer doing much touring, and I felt like I'd lost touch with a lot of people I used to keep regular company with, and I wanted to return to those institutions just to recover old friendships and make new friends. And I had a grant from the Doris Duke Charitable Trust to go around the country and perform for free, give benefit performances, do house concerts for friends and really anyone who wanted it. And so that's exactly what I've done. I've logged now almost 6,000 miles. I've driven through Pennsylvania already, and then Ohio. I did performances in Ohio, in Iowa, in Colorado, then up to Portland and Seattle, and down through Ashland and San Francisco. And now I just finished a performance in L.A., and I do another house concert here in L.A., then off to Rangeley, Colorado, where I'm doing an improvisation in basically an abandoned grain tank called The Tank at Rangeley, Colorado, which will be recorded and put out. And then on to Iowa City and Minneapolis. I give three performances there, and then back through Illinois and finally back to Bloomsburg. So by the time I get there, I will have logged some 8,000, 9,000 miles.
I should imagine with your type of performance, you don't need a lot of space. You don't need the large halls. Do you prefer a more intimate space, a more intimate venue, or you don't mind at all? And I also should imagine, though, what happens with the costuming? Do you do costuming? How do you handle all that?
I have a generic kind of costume that I use, but I also put on, at one point, I'm traveling with a rather large cassock that I used in one performance, and I do slip that on at one point, and I alter my costume to reflect some of the features of certain costumes. For instance, the Idiot Variations is done in basically the garb of a Sufi, an apocryphal Sufi imam called Nasruddin, but that's a kind of white skirt, and I can't really go in and out of that. But so I just take my jacket off, and I wrap my jacket around, and it becomes a kind of skirt. So that's how I'll just transform it as best I can within the course of the piece. The cassock is easy enough to slip on and off, but some other costumes are more difficult to get in and out of, so I just modify the one I have. The costume I'm wearing is from a particular piece called And God Created Great Whales, which is my take on Melville, on Moby Dick, which is about a composer who is struggling with memory loss and trying to complete his opera of Moby Dick. And it's a tragicomic work that has done very well and performed a lot around the country, and in particular New York, where it had 19 weeks, which is pretty amazing for an essentially avant-garde interdisciplinary work.
You mentioned Nasruddin, so you tell Nasruddin tales?
No, I'm just using that idea of the Holy Fool. I like the costume reference. So that was just a kind of physical reference, but I don't actually quote. I don't tell any Nasruddin stories. I am the Nasruddin story in this case.
And what about venue?
You know, I had an experience once with a chamber opera I did, and did a performance of it in Alice Tully Hall in New York. And I hadn't realized at the time how reliant it was on these very subtle shifts in character and being able to read the face. I find that for subtle shifts, when you're trying to go from, for instance, that joke, you know, that I just told, if you see it from a distance, it's very difficult to read the dawning of its tragic dimensions on the face. You can attempt to illustrate that through the kind of physicality, but to watch that dawn on the guy who's telling the joke, that requires you to be close enough so that you can see the features change. You can see the idea cross the face and the eyes turn. And so I do prefer a slightly smaller venue for most things. And by small, Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble is not a large, that's not a large theater, so that seems intimate to me, relatively. And there you know, every seat there, you can pretty much see how the actor is turning, what's happening within the mind of the actor. So, yeah, I think a lot of things suffer from being too, a lot of pieces have to be a little bit broader, and you can't be quite as nuanced in the way you treat text. So I like to move fast, and I like the thing to be able to move like a quick boat rather than a battleship. So that sometimes is easier done in the smaller spaces.
Well, I know that we're all looking forward to your appearance on Monday, October the 24th.
The music will range from something that is American kind of folk music through something that sounds like European medieval music, to even references to Indian music. I play a wide variety of instruments during the course of this, including three different kinds of ukuleles, two different kinds of guitars, piano and accordion, and even an instrument that's used in Indian music called a shruti box, as well as percussion instruments and flutes, and there's some that are hard to describe. I play something that's really an improvised marimba. So it just goes through a number of different worlds of sound and vocal color.
It sounds really exciting.
I gotta say, audiences have been, I have yet to not get a standing ovation, so I think they're happy. They seem to be happy, and that pleases me no end.
Grammy Award-winning performer, creator, composer Rindy Eckert, speaking with WVIA's Fiona Powell in anticipation of returning to Bloomsburg. Rindy loves the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, and he will take part in a Pay What You Wish concert to benefit the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble this Monday, October 24th at 8 at night in the studio at the Pump House, 623 State Road in Bloomsburg. There will be music and stories and refreshments. For more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org. That's Rindy Eckert, and he will be in performance this Monday, October 24th at 8 p.m. in the studio at the Pump House, 623 State Road in Bloomsburg. Pay What You Wish. It's a concert to benefit the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. Music and stories and refreshments and more, bte.org. bte.org. And if you'd like to learn more about Rindy Eckert himself, you can check his website, rindeeckert.com, rindeeckert.com.